It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, what's happening? Good Thursday afternoon, and welcome into Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com, Double T 97.3 mobile app powered by Happy State Bank, and yours on television, Fox 34 News Now. However, wherever you may be joining us from, we are happy that you've chosen to make us part of your Thursday. Plenty to get into as we creep a little further into the month of August.
Yeah, we take an important step today.
Big step.
As there's officially activity going on right over there at the football office.
People are moving around, speaking into microphones today.
Yes.
I think it's wrapped up for the most part. I spent a good chunk of time over there. I'll share some of what I heard from players and coaches alike. Some of the highlights there. We'll have an interview, at least one player, maybe multiple, to bring from Donovan Smith. He's one of the three quarterbacks in the mix for that coveted quarterback starting position. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Official practice starting up tomorrow.
This was, and I was a spring sport guy, obviously, but
yeah,
this was the day for us that, you know, football and maybe volleyball, and I'm going back a long ways, but they would come in and do their physicals, obviously not together.
Sure.
But at the same time.
Turn your head and call.
Exactly.
All at the same time.
Not you, ladies, the football guys. But I think some of the compliance meetings and all that stuff. And then for us, it was like right at the first day of school. And all the spring sports would go over there. But it's still, I think, the generally speaking, what I'm about to say holds true. This was the day that kind of sucked. Because, you know, you're ready, everybody's back, you're good, hey, man, what's up, you know. And then you go, like, stand in line for the physical and have the compliance meeting and fill out the paperwork and the drug test and the this and the that. And you're like, you know, because this is the day you circle on the calendar, but it's really not the first day. You know, it's all the administrative stuff. It's important, don't get me wrong, but you just like, you know, there's nothing going on today, but there's a lot going on.
You know, it's just nothing for the actual players.
Right. And no running around. They may be out there goofing around on the field or, you know, playing catch or doing whatever, but this is just the day where you're just about to jump out of your shoes because there's no, you know, we get to hear another speech from somebody else and another meeting and a, you know, drug test. And yeah, that was, but necessary evil.
The necessary
evil. One step closer, baby. Yep, one step closer.
Yep, August 4th, we are inside of a month, 30 days out from Texas Tech football season starting up. You can get your comments, whatever you want to, reaction to just about anything we say, in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through that aforementioned Double T 97.3 mobile app. Mike Gustafson, I'm Choice Woodman, in for Aaron. Don't worry, all you... I had a name come to my head of what Dickens fan club would
you
be.
You gotta be careful.
Yeah, I was like, no, that one's not gonna work.
Or don't be careful; it'll be more entertaining.
A lot of times, you look at fan clubs for certain certain bands or whatever. They're like blank heads, so you can't really do that with Dickens. It would be a little difficult there, but
maybe an Aaron head.
Yeah, Aaron heads.
Airhead.
Airheads. There's airheads out there. Dickens will be back at it tomorrow. Don't worry. You won't have to deal with me too much longer. But we are hanging with you till 6:30 tonight. Got more Rangers baseball coming your way at that time as the Rangers take on the White Sox this evening. But plenty to get into because we had a shortened show yesterday. So a lot that we may not have covered yesterday, we'll get to today. Clint, how are you doing over there?
Looking I'm very doing well.
Viking-esque today.
I just got to today's lunch. So
just now?
Yeah.
3 o'clock seems like a late lunch.
It is a very late lunch. Sometimes time just escapes me when I'm doing stuff before the other show.
Right.
And then, sometimes stuff happens.
Stuff happens. Yeah.
Stuff happens. I'm enjoying some chicken and rice right now in here.
Okay. So if you're eating a late lunch like Clint, appreciate you joining us today. Plenty from the outside world in sports. Realignment, you could call it. I don't know. More propaganda being pumped out from Pac-12 writers, Wilner, back into it. And we saw the Big 12 respond yesterday, which was different. Like the actual conference itself, not just Big 12 fans responding. So that was a little bit fun. We'll get into that. You teased something at the very last second of the show. Or actually, it was towards the...
Yesterday,
it was,
yeah.
It was the last second of the show. Yep. Sorry, my days are running together. Yeah, that Tech got a new baseball player. I think that's kind of been reported at this point, right?
Yeah, and I don't know that Tech has released it or whatever, right. but the player has posted it on his social.
He's got it there, so that's out there. Good news out of Cowboys camp, bad news from the Rangers team, plenty to dive into, and it's a special anniversary today that we'll get to hear a little tidbit from coming up a little bit later. But football season is upon us. We did hear from Coach McGuire that the big story of the offseason, right, is the quarterback competition. besides the story of having a brand new coach and how's this new staff fit, mesh, all of that sort of thing. But the quarterback competition, Coach McGuire said it to Coach Kittley, that you'll never have a quarterback room quite like this again. And Coach McGuire just spoke to the media a little less than an hour ago, said that he wants to choose a starting quarterback after two scrimmages, which according to the schedule, that's going to be 1 week before game week. So we'll get to
which is not entirely unusual. It only establishes enough time for a good, you know, the competition to continue, but it also and for some scrimmages to reveal some things, but it also allows that game week preparation.
Does. I mean, we've seen completely different styles here in the last decade plus. Guys that say, "We'll see." Who it is when he trots out there, and then Baker Mayfield's your starting quarterback. Where it's like, oh, this guy, your walk-on guy, is going to start the first game as a freshman. And then we've seen guys that are a little bit more transparent. Seems like Joey McGuire is very much more on the transparent side and doesn't have a whole lot to hide, not quite taking the Bill Belichick approach to it. But one thing is, man, there's guys that... There's guys, coaches that have an ability to fire you up with the speech, right?
Sure.
I mean, there's guys, I feel like Joey McGuire, and maybe I'm just completely all in on drinking the Kool-Aid at this point, like a lot of Red Raider fans are, but I feel like Joey McGuire is even on another level from a whole lot of other coaches because it seems so genuine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what, I mean, I just got done listening to him speak again, and... get the same feeling that I have every time I hear him speak before. It's like, this guy truly loves and appreciates the position he's in, which makes me all the more excited to have him as the Red Raider coach.
I mean, that's well said. Has waited for this opportunity.
Yeah.
And you know, it goes all the way back to the, you know, the apparently the notebook and of material, you know, the Awaken the Sleeping Giant, you know, like he was ready for this opportunity and was running with it. And, you know, it was only a month away from getting to show it off.
We'll give you some of the highlights from Texas Tech Media Day today as we roll throughout the show. Plenty other stuff to dive into over the next 3+ hours. It is Tech Talk on Double T97.3.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T97.3.
It's Tech Talk on Double T97.3 and DoubleT97.3.com. Glad that you've chosen to make us part of your Thursday. Creeping closer to football season. Alongside Mike Gustafson, I'm Choice Woodman. Clint Scott back behind the glass. We had Texas Tech Media Day Well, I always want to say media days. Media day.
Big 12 media day.
That's right.
Texas Tech media day.
Media day today.
Or the Pac 12. They have one day.
They do have one day.
Just
which
the
is
one.
Weird. Yeah. It's kind of strange. But anyway, the players and coaches spoke with the local media today. I had a opportunity to sit down with one of the quarterbacks. They were pretty, in high demand. Hard to get them alone today. But I was able to get a chance to sit with Donovan Smith for just a little bit. And here's how that conversation went. All right, Donovan Smith here with us. And Donovan, first off, big story of the offseason, quarterback competition.
Yeah.
How do you manage that fire to want to be the starting quarterback while still being friends and great teammates with the other guys?
Yeah. You know, we do great together. We work well together. We're really more as a family than competitors. But we know each day, you know, we're going to bring our A game. We know we're competing with each other. It's not like no secret or anything like that. So just make sure I compete every day against those guys, and we make each other better when we do compete. So we know if everyone's bringing our A game each day, you know, we're all going to get better. And then just off the field, you know, we help each other all the time. You know, if we need a certain play that we need help with or anything like that, you know, we're going to help each other. So we know how to separate. On the field, you know, it could get hostile a little bit if it does. But we know off the field, you know, we'll be good. We'll talk to each other about it because we know we're all competing for one job.
A lot of new, obviously, had to go through a coaching change midseason last year. Do you feel like that's made this entire team, the guys that went through that, a little bit tighter as a group?
Yeah, you know, it definitely shows that, you know, we have to rely on each other a little bit more going through that. You know, got to hold each other accountable and, like, lean on each other if we need to, you know, because it definitely is not the easiest thing to go through. But, you know, we definitely, with the whole thing changing going on, you know, we definitely stick together and hung out together and talked to each other about how we feel about everything and definitely stayed together and grew together.
Coach McGuire is 1,000% energy,
yeah.
In front of cameras, yeah. Everywhere. Is he the same way around the team?
Yeah. It's definitely he doesn't hide it because we just had 4:30 a.m. workouts, Navy SEAL training. It ended probably like at 8 o'clock, and he was like, you know, guys, I'm proud of you. Talking to the whole team, we're all in the bleachers. He's like, you know, I'm proud of you. I love you guys. And that being said, he was fully clothed, shoes on, everything. Jumped in the pool, and we all jumped in after him. So he definitely he's not a fraud. It's not a fluke or anything. So he's like that 24/7.
Now, you had to come in as a quarterback last year, not being the starting quarterback at the beginning of the year. What did you learn in those experiences last year?
Yeah, I definitely feel like it definitely prepared me. The segue of how it all happened, you know, I was able to, when I wasn't playing, you know, I was able to look at everything, look how the whole team responded, everything like that, and then got to the situation, you know, okay, you know, now it's a step up now, you know, you see that, now it's time to step up, you know, now you're going to go in the game, you know, I felt the speed of the game, what I can do, and stuff like that, what does work and what doesn't work. So then now the final step is, okay, now you got to start. And I felt like it was great because how it all happened, we had a bye week, we had a week bye week, so I felt like that was like a perfect segue, just going from seeing how the team is, now you get to go in the game and experience that too, now, you know, you got a week and now you're going to go play in the game. So I definitely think that whole segue was great and helped me a lot.
Do you have a favorite moment from last season?
The last time I did say garbage kick, but then I guess I'd definitely say like the Mississippi State game, just how surreal that felt, you know, just being on the sideline, getting our shirts, our championship shirts, saying, you know, we did that, you know, we did do that. And Miles was my roommate, and I was telling him, and I was like, dude, we just did that. So we were just sitting in the locker room. I mean, in our hotel room, just like, man, that was crazy. We just went out and won that game. So that was exciting.
What's one thing that you should tell Red Raider fans to watch out for, to be most excited about your game this season?
Yeah, I just say buckle up, because, you know, we're going to score a lot of points. The Jones is going to be rocking. I believe that. I feel like we're going to have everyone behind us, and it's just going to be a whole bunch of points, a whole bunch of partying in the Jones this season.
All right, appreciate it, Donovan.
Yes, sir.
Thanks to Donovan Smith for giving us a little bit of time earlier today at Texas Tech Media Day. The last thing he says there, I think, is while we need defense and Joey McGuire is a defensive-minded head coach, that I think is something that has been missed in the last few years by Texas Tech fans. Because I remember that's what I grew up on. I know some people grew up on Spike Dykes, some people grew up before that, but going to Texas Tech football games as a kid, you knew you were going to be entertained. You didn't know you were always going to win games. You knew you were probably going to win games when you went to Jones Stadium, but you knew you were going to be entertained. And I think, if anything, if you're bringing that brand of football or just at least some high-octane offense back, that sure goes a long way for fueling that excitement again.
No doubt. No doubt. I think the, and just winning home games. And
that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and just, you know, there was like in Cliff's time, some of the biggest wins, you know, the two Texas wins were on the road. You know, I mean,
the Arkansas win.
Yes, the Arkansas. We swapped home road.
Yeah, you know,
like the only one that of those, I guess, the Arizona State thing went conventional. We went out there and got dragged, and then came here and beat them.
Yeah,
you know, but. But
yeah, I mean, you're right, though. Like, yeah. That was part of it. Is it seemed like your bigger wins in the Cliff Kingsbury era came away from Jones Stadium. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing to win on the road.
No, just the.
But the emotions are driven at home.
And you could maybe flip it and say some of, not all, but some of the biggest disappointment games came at home, too.
Sure. Really, when you look back even further before Cliff, that the Oklahoma State one that no one wants to talk
right.
about, 66-6. I mean, just as bad as it gets. You had a complete dud under Cliff against Iowa State there and here. Uh-huh. I mean, you've had
Mahomes' years both. The one up there was
up there was. Yeah. I think the one here was as well. But that's the thing. Jones Stadium used to be a place where opposing fan bases, but opposing teams truly feared coming to, because you could derail an entire season. Number three Oklahoma coming to town, watch out. Number one Texas, doesn't matter. It didn't matter the ranking next to someone's name. I remember as a fan going into Jones Stadium in the 2000s, you expected to go watch a win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you did. Didn't matter who was coming to town. You had the anticipation and the excitement of watching a win. So
yeah,
if
there was going to be magic happening this season, it was going to happen at home. Think about – that was another one. Tuberville winning in Norman.
Yeah, that was another big win.
You know, and then losing the last – right after that. losing Iowa State and then getting rolled the rest of the season, which is really improbable. Like, wait, that team went to Norman and won.
Yeah.
And then got rocked, you know.
So, all that being said, I'm
with you. And I think you – to your point, I think tapping into Coach McGuire's tapped into that. We're hearing the ads.
Yeah.
We're hearing the ads on this station about coming that we want Jones Stadium to be rocking again. He knows what he's asking for there.
Sure he does.
Because what he's remembering is the chaos of, you know, everybody thinks of it. Your first thought about that is always like a Crabtree type game.
Yes.
But 05 A&M here, 9 o'clock kickoff. Mm-hmm. Just some of those bizarro scenes that we've had here, and that's what Coach McGuire's trying to tap into.
He's also got to see the atmospheres in basketball recently, in baseball.
Bet.
So
you bet.
He wants some of that at Jones Stadium, and why wouldn't he?
Yep.
It's Tech Talk on Double T97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Glad to be part of your Thursday. You're listening to Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. He's Mike Gustafson. I'm Choice Woodman. Hanging with you till 6:30 today. Keep hitting us up. Yates Flooring Center chat line. I'll clean up a few from there. As we've covered a lot of territory. Sooner Lubbock says, I remember my first cellular one phone. That was a thing, yeah. Steven said, totally remember the physical day. Never had a drug test, though. It's nice.
Yeah, that started really during my time.
The drug testing thing?
Yeah, I believe so.
Because of your sheer power?
Yeah,
is that what it was?
No. I think there was two levels of that drug test that came in maybe right when I first got here. One was just like a street drug deal.
Right.
You know, whatever. You know, street drugs. And then I think my senior year there was at that time I think it was referenced as a steroid test. Think,
yeah.
You know, which would have been like old Dianabol kind of Winstrol, Dianabol, old like old school steroids and then, you know, now that would be a PED test.
Right.
You know, but yeah.
Well, I mean, who knew? It was just the hot bats in college baseball.
and
there was no danger, time, right?
No danger. Yeah, it was, and no danger of you watching me play and thinking, "That guy's on PEDs."
How many dingers do you have?
Four my senior year. So,
four
yeah.
Your senior year? Oh, yeah. That's pretty good. That's not bad. It was
hit two of them in one game against TCU, which is always nice.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was that the highlight game of the senior year?
Yeah, probably. There was no. We weren't a postseason team or anything like that. But yeah, we kind of whacked them pretty good. I think we swept them.
Yeah. Always.
Them and Rice were that was a different TCU and Rice baseball, just as Texas Tech baseball. The three of those programs have come a long way since 1989. Yeah. Trust me.
So I was trying to bait people, you know, these football players to give in and tell me who they hated the most in the Big 12 conference or what games they wanted to win the most, and no one
thought maybe you could.
They were all well trained, so
yeah, sure.
Unfortunately, they no one kind of spilled the beans because, you know, the TCU stuff or sure. Texas and OU league and leaving the league. Who was your least favorite team in your playing days?
Golly,
who did you have the disdain for, and has it changed in terms of who you?
A&M used to roll us, but remember A&M's in 89, A&M was that yeah. was like the 57-9 team that didn't go to Omaha. And
what,
they
you mean an Aggie team underachieved?
They weren't jerks about it. They were, you know, Chuck Knoblauch was on the team. There were a couple guys that were good dudes that I'd played summer ball and stuff against. We didn't hate, you know, that they just pounded. You know who we hated? We fought. Duh, U of H. And that's an easy answer now that I think about it.
Really?
We had a brawl with them. Yeah.
U of
I mean,
H.
Full on brawl. And I've got the video to prove it.
Oh, man, I need to see that video.
I can't believe you haven't seen it on my social. Every few years I repost it.
I need to check that out. I have...
I can send it to you here on the next okay. break, dude.
I can't wait to watch.
Speaking of brawls, what a perfect segue, right?
Absolutely. Look at that.
A baseball.
Radio professional, Mike Gustafson. It is a special day, Mr. Gustafson, in baseball history. One of my all-time favorite days as a Rangers fan.
The interesting thing about that, of course, that's Mark Holtz, who left this earth about 3 years later from leukemia. And,
yeah.
You know, longtime voice of the Rangers, and there's no break. I mean, that Mark Holtz,
not really.
And you can tell he's fired up. But I mean, there's not a breath. There's not a okay. We can kill that clip right there. I mean, you just got to just stop it. But he, there's so much going on there. And of course, everybody's seen the clip, and
sure.
And we all, you know, we all know
the picture's
deal.
Iconic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, and again, we talked the other day about the documentary Facing Nolan. There's a lot in there about this fight. Of course, there's also a lot in there about the Bo Jackson ground ball or line drive that pops Nolan in the face and he's bleeding and he gets back on the mound and pitches. But, you know, Ventura told us when he was here for his College Baseball Hall of Fame induction that he said they were on the bench. And like, Ventura's like kind of a laid-back California kid. He really is. Not a red A, you know, just a – and he had said they were like, the next guy he throws at, go on, you go, you know, and so like, all right, and he hits him like, yeah, you can see him take about three steps like, crap,
it's
you
gotta
know?
Be me.
He's not a fan. He talked about that. He told us that. You
that's
know?
Hilarious.
Yeah, and so he, you know, he does his part, and that thing broke into a lot of stuff. But a few points about that. First of all, Red Raider Donald Harris is playing center field for the Rangers, which is cool. He was also in our fight with Houston. He had a more active role in our fight in 98 with Houston. A little sidebar. But he, it was Nolan's final season. He had six more starts after that, and that was it. In 1993, and he had missed a lot. He was hurt a bunch that year and all that. That hit by a pitch of Robin Ventura was the only dude he hit all year.
Really?
Yeah.
And they
Isn't
were talking
crazy?
About, like, next guy he hits. Go,
right.
go after him?
Yeah, and he must have buzzed some towers or something. But, yeah.
Still.
Or there was history going back to the previous year or something.
Which
but, yeah.
happens a lot. Yeah,
yeah exactly. Nolan did not get ejected. Ventura did. How about that? If they had a brawl like that, you'd have umpteen guys. Because this was a real fight. like Mickey Hatcher's at the bottom of that deal in that clip, and you heard Holtz talk about it. He came up and he had blood trickling down, and one of the White Sox veterans, maybe Ozzie Guillen, one of those guys, like, hey, you know, like they weren't fighting. It was just like, hey, you got blood all over you. You know, like he's got, I mean,
did he get to stay in that game?
Nolan did.
That's what
Ventura
I thought.
Didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, which I love that because that's kind of like the change in the world.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly
today,
what I'm saying.
It's like the change in the world. It's like self-defense, man. Got to pop him in the mouth and still get to stay in.
Exactly. There was a point in that brawl at the second stage of it when you hear it kind of bubble back up again that Nolan had kind of walked away and he's gathering himself and the White Sox manager's barking at him and Nolan gets fired up. And so, you know, if you're a Ranger and your guy, Nolan, gets fired back up, you think you're not getting loaded up again? And so here they go again. Awesome.
More reaction on the chat line. We'll get to some of that next.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
You're listening to Tech Talk on Double T 97.3. The Double T 97.3 mobile app runs by Happy State Bank. Up Yates Flooring Center chat line. Whole lot of reaction to the the goodness of Nolan Ryan.
Everyone's ready.
Of course.
Everyone's ready to go. We got Coach McGuire audio.
That's right.
We got football. We got media days going. We got everybody fired up for that. Now we're playing brawl videos.
I mean, it's
brawl audio, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Made videos during the break. I got to see the infamous brawl with Houston. So are they the... are they your most hated future Big 12 team?
Yeah, probably. There's probably an element of that. That might me and my guys sort of thinking Houston.
No, come on. It's always the other guys.
Yeah.
T-Bone says, I was at that game. Actually, three people. Someone else said, we were shocked. We were at that game. Another one said, my wife was at that game, too.
That's awesome.
Wow, a lot of people. At that game. I wonder if it... I'm not questioning our listeners, because total integrity in our audience, obviously. I wonder if it's one of those things like...
97,000 people claim they were there.
Like the ham slam, remember? Everybody claimed that they were there and had a piece of the glass. It was like breaking out car windows and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got a piece of glass from the ham slam. And that was in, Asheville? No.
Where? Yeah, it was
in North Carolina somewhere.
Yeah, it was out to Greensboro,
I think that's probably right.
Hey, that yeah, and you know, there probably was more people at that game because in those days, everybody knew that Nolan was winding down that year. And there was, it was very much of an effect, you know, when Nolan pitched that people tried to get to those games.
Yeah, showed up, you know, filled the stadium.
Yeah, because he was 5 years, you know, 5 years in Arlington, and it's... Because, you know, the thing about Nolan was like, hey, that guy may throw another no-hitter.
Yeah.
You know, he's throwing them at age 40, whatever.
Plenty of them.
The
yeah.
year before and
How many
2 years
you
before.
With the Rangers? Three with the Rangers or two?
I was thinking it was two.
Two? I think that's right. That's right. But, yeah, I mean, you never knew what was going to happen. He's going to reach another milestone.
Sure. And just the, yeah, and I don't want to say everybody wanted to be there for the last one, but you kind of knew, like, this was the first time, because he'd missed a six-week chunk earlier that year, and, you know, so there was definitely people going, hey, Nolan's pitching on Thursday or Saturday or Tuesday or whatever, let's go. That's cool stuff.
Any conspiracy theories? Rangers and White Sox playing each other today on Nolan Ryan Day.
That's right.
I mean, are they doing this on purpose?
Get Nolan to throw out the first pitch.
I love it. Rangers, White Sox tonight at 6:30. No Nolan Ryan on the mound, at least per reports. We'll find out.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Just get back out there. Advil. It's what got me back on the mound today. Dallas Paper headline. Next day was Ventura in a headlock and said, this is the Advil for you.
There you go.
All right. T-Money says, if you hear Jamie Lent report on the fight, apparently Ventura stumbled, and that's the only reason Nolan kicked his booty.
That's not what he said.
That's not what he said.
Okay. He said it did look like he stumbled, but he's not saying that Nolan Ryan didn't, you know, whoop him because he tripped.
I'll go watch the video again and see if there's any stumble there.
I mean, you can tell that you could... You can tell that that Robin's not a. I mean, he's just not a fighter. I mean, the way he reacts, he runs out there and kind of puts him in a bear hug, like you know, he didn't run out there and take one big monster swing. Like, it's not the action of a dude that's pissed. No. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to kill you for throwing at me, you know, that kind of just venom that a lot of dudes have when they go to the mound. Robin didn't have it. No. And again, I think it was just, hey, if he throws at somebody, we're, you know, and again, who knows, spring training, the year before, whatever reason, they had sort of cooked that up on the bench. But Robin goes out there and just sort of like, hey, I'm going to try to tackle him and we'll have a scrum. Mm-hmm. But he didn't take Nolan down. And so that's the famous deal, because Nolan just slips him into a headlock and starts thank, you know, popping him on top of the head. With his throwing hand, but hey, you know, Nolan, it was defense mode at the time. And just, I mean, you know, between that and my favorite picture of Nolan is the blood deal.
Yep.
Because he's got taking the baseball in the mouth, and he's like, get up on the mound.
Someone said the fight is as iconic as Babe calling his home run.
It is to people in Texas.
Yeah.
It dang sure is to people in Texas.
No, what's great is, like, Nolan Ryan provided, I mean, 5 years in Texas.
Right, just,
he provided
Houston
so,
before that, in fairness.
Right,
yeah.
But 5 years in Arlington,
mm-hmm.
and provided so many amazing moments like that, like the lip thing. And then in addition to the no-hitters and the 5,000th strikeout.
And the 300th win.
And the 300th win. All of these moments came there as he's a 40-year-old.
Right.
Lighting up the radar gun.
Just great for business, you know, just great for business for the Rangers, because, you know, he's way past his peak, but this dude just keeps, you know, stringing stuff together. He was never could be dominant on any night. It's like he was a 20-game winner for the Rangers.
Yeah.
But just did all of these things, the 5,000th K and the no-hitters and 300th win, just – you know,
so,
and just the consummate Texan too. And I'm not even saying, like, you know, he was in Lubbock he received an award from the Ranching Heritage Center 10 years ago, because that's a legitimate part of him.
Sure.
He's a rancher.
Yes,
and if you go see Facing Nolan, or if you stream it or whatever, you'll see all of that. But, you know, he's a boots and jeans guy. And so it just clicks with us, man.
Yep.
And, you know, it just clicks with Texans.
Sure does. Yeah.
And he pitched for both franchises.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to Nolan, it's just he's Texan. So it's amazing. I got to see him when I was young, but can't remember it. So I wish I could have those memories, but it was a long, long time ago.
That was one of the great things about taking Brooks to see the Facing Nolan was he'd heard this, read it, seen clips and this, and knew about the no-hitters and all, but just getting to see the deal behind the scene and to get to see it and hear about Nolan talking about it and all that stuff. The movie itself is fantastic. Again, I'm talking about the movie called Facing Nolan, if you're just tuning in. And today is the 29th anniversary of the Robin Ventura Nolan Ryan scrap.
Someone said, Dr. Mike, I want to thank you for that audio. My father was part of the security detail provided by the DPS when the Rangers arrived in Texas. He became a fan since that moment. I grew up listening to them on KGNC up in Amarillo. It's great to hear Holtz again.
Yes.
Ready to hear the Hello Win column again. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And one of the things when you go look for that clip, and it's out there a lot today, 29 years ago today, a lot of it is, and I don't know enough about the TV that particular night, but a lot of most of the video clips are from the White Sox TV, mm-hmm. Hawk Harrelson, and I always enjoyed their broadcast, but I was like, man, I really want a radio call, and I really want a Rangers broadcast, like HSE.
Yeah.
Back then, it would have been HSE. And it took me umpteen YouTube clicks to find that one, and I'm glad I did, because and the thing is just Mark Holtz is fired up. I mean, like, again, that's a three-minute clip of audio that we just heard, and there is no big pause. He is just letting it fly, like a radio guy in hockey describing a hockey fighter.
You know, I think in my tiny little baseball career, that's the biggest thing I regret: not charging the mound. That's not getting in a good brawl. Mm-hmm. How many brawls were you involved in?
This that one.
And no, there was one guy I wish I would have, not probably wish. That's probably not good. If you're listening, kids, don't ever fight. But there was one guy that I faced, I think, four times
mm-hmm.
in the high school career. He went on to pitch in the major leagues, named Parker Bridwell.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, he hit me three of those times.
You're kidding.
Three, yeah. I mean, wow. I don't think they were on purpose necessarily.
Just happened.
He had a pretty
they probably weren't
solid
on purpose,
fastball.
But I can say I get it.
No,
knowing what we know now.
No, but he hit me three times. And the last game, we were down, not going to get to the, yeah, I mean, not going to win the game. Sure. And I was like, I thought about it. I was like, should have charged. I know my teammates would have had my back.
Exactly.
He was a lot bigger than me, though.
You could have started a melee. And nowadays, and I don't know what it would have been like to charge into the mound in high school, even back when I played.
Yeah,
but
I probably wouldn't have. It would have been the last game of the season.
Well,
so
there you
okay.
go.
Might have been
a senior going out with
that
as
exactly
a, as
right.
a hero
it was my
right
senior
there.
Year. No, he hit me three times, I think, in my senior season. Maybe one was my junior season. But, yeah, he got me quite
a bit. He did pitch in the big leagues. He actually had a birthday the other day. Because he was a Tech signee, he signed him. Spencer signed him.
Orioles, I think.
Yeah,
he played for the Angels.
Pitched
for
in
a while,
the big leagues, Angels for parts of several years.
Yep, should have charged the mound, Parker. If you're listening out there.
Speaking of emotional baseball players, Jace Young got assigned to West Michigan, which is a high A team.
That's pretty quick, isn't
yeah, it?
I mean,
really
usually
is.
You see them hanging in Arizona a little longer.
Uh-huh. Or Florida, in his case, in Detroit, in the Tigers organization. But he getting sent straight to high A. Like, he'll be in that same league with Kyle Conley. I know Kyle's in that league. I have to think about it. But, Kyle just got promoted to that league.
Yep.
And Drew Baker might have been there and got hurt. Nah, he was – anyway, but that same level. So that's really good. You can tell he's a first-round pick.
You're listening to Tech Talk. More on the way on Double T 97.3.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Texas Tech Media Day was today. Joe McGuire spoke with the media not too long ago this afternoon. And we bring you a few comments from him. Here, the biggest story, Gus, of the offseason is
quarterback competition.
Quarterback competition, yeah. So, he was first asked if there is a timeline, just making sure we're good over that, if there's a timeline that he has set forth to name a starting quarterback.
The thing that's different than what they've done, but the amount of time that the NCAA allows us to meet is different than what they've done. We're going to make sure that we take every bit of that to get ready. And so the first week, that mini camp, and then we'll start going into the way we practice during the season. So the week before our game week, we're going to have a mock week. I would like to go into that week knowing who our quarterback is. So we're going to go full – we're going to go two scrimmages. We'll have some live periods during practice, but we're going to go two full scrimmages and get after each other. And so after those two scrimmages – that'll lead us into the mock week, and that's where I'm hoping that one of these guys takes it.
Basically, 2 weeks-ish before the actual first kickoff, we're going to find out who the quarterback is. And I think that's good for everybody involved, especially being in who that will be. You have a prediction?
Yeah, no, I don't. But it allows the competition to play out, mm-hmm. and then it allows for – the reps was as ones and twos, and then that's the competition we're all focused on.
Yeah,
there are others that'll happen, but I would guess that those decisions, the difference between quarterback and if there's a competition at defensive end or whatever,
sure.
right tackle or whatever, is at right tackle you really can create a situation where the ones and twos, both guys are going to play a bunch during the game.
Sure you can.
Certainly that's true at positions like receiver,
yeah, even defensive end. Yeah, that
bet.
Sort of thing.
But the QB, that one's the one that, except in very rare instances, somebody's going to be getting a bunch of playing time until either really bad performance or an injury changes that scenario.
Yeah, no doubt. It's the one position, and as we'll hear from Coach McGuire here, not really planning on playing multiple quarterbacks this season as far as doing a rotation. He goes through what the QB battle will look like through two scrimmages.
I want to get through two scrimmages You know, I want to give them the, like a true we've had a good spring. Now they're way ahead in the playbook, and so there's no excuses. I will tell you, and I stick by this, we're not going to rotate quarterbacks. So it's not going to be – I've never done that. I don't believe in that. But I do believe if there's something that a quarterback does that is really special, that's his package of the week, then that guy's going to have times in the game that he goes in. You know, and the good thing about all three of them, they're really good athletes, and that doesn't mean they're going in at quarterback. You know, I mean, you might see a couple of them, you know, at different times at receiver and be true receivers. And from the standpoint, that's going to put a lot of stress on people because the first thing you do when you put a quarterback in the game that's not at the quarterback position, oh, watch out, he's still on the ball. And, you know, Donovan is 6'5", and on the goal line, that may be a pretty good option to throw the ball in the back of the end zone to Donovan Smith.
That's unique. I mean,
it really is.
The thought of having a quarterback, a guy that's competing for your starting job, it's not unheard of. I mean, we actually saw, why am I forgetting this? Trevon Boykin at TCU. If you remember a few years back, Casey Paul-Hall, the cocaine guy, was the one that was the starting quarterback, and Boykin was the backup, and they played the true backup as a receiver several plays during the game. He was a starting receiver, so that was that's not unheard of. I don't know how much they would be willing to use him, but
right. And we've talked about at length about, and Coach McGuire said this, I think at media days, about the idea of Donovan Smith on the goal line.
Yeah,
you know that the I'm an idiot if I don't, or I'm crazy if I don't get him in there and run him, sure, you know, quarterback lead and short yardage things and all that. And so this statement today about him at receiver is a different, you know, is something different, but he's exactly right. At least if it's not something you've prepped for, when, you know, a defense sees that quarterback run out there on the field and line up at receiver, it's a borderline timeout situation.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, what do we got here? Hey, you know, timeout. Sure. If it's some, you know, game on the line type moment.
Right.
And until they prep for it, but it's also the kind of thing you show that early in the year, and then, you know, everyone has to spend time in meetings and scouts and, you know, whatever, going, now if number 7 runs out there and lines up at receiver, we have to do this, you know.
Yeah.
And you can take their prep time.
Sure.
You can affect their prep time, no doubt.
And speaking of receiver, Loic Fungi is someone that Coach McGuire is pretty excited about.
I'm really excited. I told Emmett and Kit, like, you got to almost think of him like a transfer because you didn't see him in the spring, and then all of a sudden you see him in the summer, and the way they changed the rules, we were able to do more stuff with him in June. And so we were out there, you know, being able to go through some stuff with him. And, man, he's a monster. We need him to be really good because he is one of the guys that can really take the top off of it with a deep ball. What I was impressed with him, I've known Loic for a long time, I recruited him, is I was really impressed with his ball skills. You know, I think he's spent a lot of time. Emmett challenged our receivers to get 25,000 catches in before camp on the jugs machine, tennis balls, and of course with the quarterbacks. And you know, he's done that, and I'm really impressed with his ball skills. But he's a guy, you know, he'll line up there when the first offense goes out tomorrow for the first snap of practice. He's going to be lined up, you know, on that right side with the starters, you know, at outside receiver. And we need him to have a really good camp.
Fungi, West Texas kid from Midland. I think talking to him, he is very excited in settling into this new role of leadership. So I think we could see some good things there.
You've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast from Double T97.3. Check out Double T973.com for more from Lubbock Sports Station.